Welcome to The Risk Course, Relationship, Intimacy, Sex, and Communication, the essential 7-week online course for lasting love and sex breakthroughs with relationship experts Christian Peterson and Sonica Tinker, brought to you by The Mankind Project USA.
All right, so let's start again. Welcome to the Risk Course, everyone. We are really excited for you to join us for the Risk Course, Relationship, Intimacy, Sex, and Communication. And today is session 1, A Fresh Start, How to Create an Extraordinary Relationship Foundation. And for those of you who don't know us, I'm Sonica. This is my beloved husband, Christian. And I'll just tell you a little bit about myself here. I have a master's degree in social work. I'm a relationship expert, transformational course. I've been leading courses and doing transformational work in a private practice with singles and couples for over 30, 35 years now. I'm co-author of the book Seizure Opportunities and The Good Divorce. And Christian, I'll just tell you him. Christian is a transplant from Denmark.
In case you're wondering about the accent later.
Right. He's a course leader as well. Tons of experience. He's a certified life coach, certified mediator. He's a Mankind Project graduate and, you know, does all kinds of stuff with Mankind Project leading. And he is Amazon best-selling author of the book When You Love Your Woman.
Yep, and Sonic and I have been doing this for a long time together, almost 10 years in this particular iteration of our work. And we have worked with, by now, thousands of couples and singles. And we always say you can feel totally safe, because what we'll be doing with you, we have tested with thousands of people in a live setting and on the internet, and most of them are still doing fine.
In fact, most of them are thriving.
Right.
And really, that's what we're hoping for you. So we really want to begin by acknowledging you for being someone who's committed to increasing the quality of your relationships, that you'd be willing to invest your time, your energy, and your money to do so. We really consider it a privilege to share this really, it's leading edge information. We're going to give you stuff that you're not going to get anyplace else, stuff we invented to support us to create a great relationship, and that we've had the privilege, as Christian said, of passing on to other people, and they've had the benefit as well. So we promise that if you practice and apply what we're about to give you here in this 7-week training, that you will undoubtedly and profoundly transform and improve your relationships. And really, I want to say all of your relationships, because we want to assure you, whether you're single, you're coupled, you're married, you're gay, you're straight, you're somebody new to relationship, or you're somebody more experienced and you've been in a relationship for, 30, 40, 50 years. And really also, if your relationship is in breakdown or you just want to improve an already great relationship, we promise you're going to get value here out of this session.
Yeah.
We've actually had, I'll just say one more thing, is all the stuff we're going to give you, you're going to be able to apply it not just to your personal love life relationship, you're going to be able to apply it to every single relationship. We use everything that we're going to give you today with our kids, with our coworkers, as well as with each other.
Yeah, we totally do. And, you know, I'm really excited to be sharing this with you all because it works. You know, I've always been into finding stuff that works and produces results, and hopefully as fast and easy as possible. That's not to say it doesn't require work, because it does. But that's why I'm so excited to share this with you. Sonic and I are, you know, we're the best testimonial to this work. We live in a great and amazing relationship and marriage. In our case, it's, you know, we have deep intimacy. We share everything with each other. We're best friends. We still have full blown, full expression sex with each other after some 12 years now. We work together full time. We co-parent, our two kids. So we have an 18-year-old boy and an almost 15-year-old girl. We co-parent with Sonica's ex, and we just have a great life with that. And how we do that is we practice the stuff we teach here. Like the stuff we'll be doing with you here, that's what we do with each other. It works.
Yeah, and be really clear that we're not like special. We had our share of ups and downs as well. So, you know, it hasn't always been high and great and easy. You know, we've had our share of, you know, past, not with each other, but you know, before we got together, abusive relationships, distant relationships, unsatisfying relationships, sexless relationships.
Relationships that just repeated themselves over and over and over with the same unhappy ending.
Yeah, we've been through separation and divorce and remarriage, as Christian said, right? We've got our kids living in two different households, so we've had to integrate, and, you know, Christian as a step-parent. So we've had our share of pain, upset, and struggle as well.
Yeah, and, you know, really, we've used all our pain and misery and mistakes for, as, you know, gifts in disguise, because they really did inspire us to find a better way. It's always been a guiding little voice in my mind. That's got to be a better way to do this, because I used to be no good at it. Seriously, I used to suck at relationships, I'll just tell you, because... Yeah, I just produced the same unsatisfying result every time, but I just kept at it and kept studying with mentors and experts, and I took on new practices. And in the end, we invented our own kind of signature work and system here, which we're going to be sharing with you, to break through all these unsatisfying and negative patterns and where we found ourselves to be stuck.
Well, and why we share all of that, because contrary to popular belief, you know, love isn't magic. You know, creating a successful relationship isn't magic. It doesn't happen all by itself. It's a state of being, and it's a set of skills and choices that we can cultivate deliberately in our relationships. So this body of work that we're going to be giving you here in this risk course is designed to show you how to create an experience of really deep love day in and day out with your partner.
Yeah. And we also want to acknowledge and say, that doesn't mean you're not going to experience fights or upsets or setbacks in your relationships forever after. That's not true for us either. We have upsets and complaints and get triggered. And, you know, I'm as judgmental as the next person, or if not more, like just like anyone. We're human just like anyone. The only difference is we know what to do with it. We just know what to do with it when it arises. And because we practiced it well, we move through it rather quickly, and you can too with practice.
Yeah, so that's what we're going to be giving you here in this program. And we're going to be presenting a radical new approach to relationship. So this is very different than the usual communication skills training, you know, that you might have come across up until this point, you know, where you say things like, you know, I statements and paraphrasing, or even the traditional therapeutic model that is a lot about, you know, looking at how your relationship is like your childhood. You know, we really are all about shifting where we come from, where what we think, how we move, so that everything else can shift as well. We're also really aware that it takes time and practice for bodies to learn. You know, as much as we would love for us to just be able to, you know, kind of like the Matrix, you know, sort of plug in and get a new program right away, you know, we're not quite like that, right? We really are more like plants than machines. It takes time for our bodies to learn. So throughout this program, we're going to be introducing you to different practices to take on to help your body learn a new way to be able to be in a relationship.
Yeah. So here, actually, everybody try this fun experiment here. Fold your hands together, take them apart, fold your hands together, take them apart, fold your hands together. Notice that every time you fold them, you do it the same way, that is with the same thumb on top. So I'm a left thumber.
Me too, actually.
Oh, you are? You know what that means, right? Nothing. It doesn't mean anything other than that's how you've always done it. You can do it 100 times and you always do it the same way. Now try something. So spread your fingers again, and then do it again, but now, so your entire configuration changes, so now to have the other thumb on top. And just feel what that feels like. It's pretty weird, right? So we've even had people get nauseous. That's how weird it felt to do that. And, you know, all it means is we just have a set pattern in our brain that is used to doing it one way. Then when we deliberately do it another way, it feels weird. It's basically that simple. So same with the stuff we'll be teaching you and the new practices you'll take on, because they will, for the most part, probably be new practices for you. They might feel weird, just like this, but it's not dangerous. And over time, it becomes normal. If you do it deliberately the other way 20 times, it already feels a little more normal.
Yeah, the strangeness or the discomfort you feel doing this exercise is going to probably mimic what you're going to feel as you take on these new practices we're going to give you. You know, they're going to feel strange at first. You know, there was a time in my life when I was really shut down emotionally and sexually to the point where literally I was in fetal position on the bed sometimes, unable to speak or move. And this experience of shutdown was so familiar to me. It felt more right and comfortable to be shut down than it felt to be open. And I remember when I first began open moves, you know, I started practicing opening up, taking actions that were aligned with that open state. You know, I remember how odd and uncomfortable these new patterns felt at first. You know, I'll never forget the first time I openly hugged somebody, how awkward and weird it felt, just like this.
Yeah, so all that's to say is we just want to encourage you to let yourself be uncomfortable with the change that you're going through. Just let yourself be uncomfortable. You can notice it. It's okay. And actually, as a matter of fact, it's to be expected that there'll be some discomfort. You know, you're rewiring patterns up here and some discomfort will show up from that.
But if you stick with these new practices long enough, you're going to find that they're going to get easier and easier over time. And at some point, you're just going to find yourself doing them without thinking, you know, without having to have conscious thought about it. So let's take a moment to talk about what's going to enable you to get the most out of this 7-week program. First, and this is really the most important, is we're going to ask you to commit to giving these calls your full, undivided attention. Now, we know sometimes, I mean, I know sometimes for myself, right, when I've listened to some calls, I'm like, I'm doing it while I'm sitting in front of the computer, and I'm also doing 6 other things, you know, answering email, dealing with my phone. And really, we promise if you do that with this material, you're not going to get the full value of what we have to teach. Some of it is pretty complex. It's definitely new ideas and new thinking. So if you're half listening, you're going to miss a whole good bunch of it. So we really encourage you to remove your distractions so you can really focus. And we'd also include you to have a notepad and pen available in case you want to take notes.
Yes, indeed. And if you're doing this with a partner, if possible, we encourage you to be on here, do the classes together so you can make eye contact with each other, touch each other, and do these exercises together. That's really useful. Some of the exercises you'll do right here in this setting where we are. We'll guide you. And some of them we'll give you as like homework assignments. So we'll send you off after each session with homework assignments to practice so you'll have a way to stay focused and keep this work alive. If you can't be together in the same space, you can do the exercises best you can on your own with the intention to come back together later and do them together. And if you're simply doing this course on your own, that is totally fine too. We'll guide you as to how to do them on your own.
And we're also going to ask that you commit not only to being on every webinar, but also if you need to miss one for whatever reason, that you listen to it at another time as soon as possible so you stay on track. And we ask you to listen to it as soon as possible so you can make sure to do the assignments, because each class is going to build on and refer to material from a previous class. So you're going to need to know what occurred in each class for the next one to make sense.
Yeah, and if you're doing it at your own pace, which is totally great too, we recommend you do it at least once a week. But at the very least, make sure you don't lapse it for 3 months. Like, keep it going until the end.
We also want to make sure you have ample time to complete the homework assignments in between sessions. So you want to make sure you listen to it in plenty of time to be able to do those homework assignments so you can embody these new relationship tools before the next one. So if you listen right at the last minute, you're not going to have time to do that. So really do dedicate ahead of time, what 1.5 hours, you know, this webinar for, you know, is the time period that you're going to allot, and you're going to make sure to get there every single week if possible. And if something shows up, you're going to get to it as soon as possible so you can keep up.
Yeah. And we're talking about the word commitment here as we make these requests of you and recommendations of you. And we'll talk more about the significance of commitment before we end this session here. So let's just say for now, though, that committing to something is an act of creativity. It's a declaration of creativity. You're declaring a vision of what will be. And so you're beginning already to align yourself with that vision.
So here, if you're willing to commit to this program, we've got a slide here that we're going to invite you to join with us in saying out loud what you're committed to. So really, if you're committed, go ahead and say this. I'm committed to completing this program,
both the weekly webinars and the homework for the benefit of our relationship and all of my relationships. We almost made that in unison. All right.
So first step, really important step, is to commit up front. If you're not committed, which is totally fine, just know you're probably not going to get the most value out of this program, and we would really encourage you to do that because commitment is the first step to being able to create change. Why we start with this actually is because words have great power. Intention has great power. Words have great creative power. Words are like things. We create our relationships and our worlds with our words. So let's give you an example here of what we mean. I'm going to actually say a couple of different things to you, and I want you to imagine that I'm talking specifically to you. And this is a personal communication between me and you. And I want you to notice how you feel as I say these different phrases to you. Okay? Ready? You look really shut down and unfriendly, and I am not looking forward to being in this program with you. So notice how you feel as I say that. What comes up for you when I speak to you that way?
When we lead our live presentations and seminars and we do this exercise with large groups of people and we ask, how did that feel? And we get call outs. We hear things like, wow, I felt angry. I felt a knot in my belly. Most everyone is like really affected by what Sonika just said. And you can actually see people in the audience literally contracting and shutting down. We'll ask, how about you in the back row way back there? Could you feel that somewhere? And everybody can feel it in their throat or in their chest or in their gut. Their body posture change, their facial expressions change. You can actually take a bunch of open people and turn them into shut down, contracted ones just like that.
Even in just an exercise when we're just playing with this. So now I want you to notice what gets produced when I say the opposite. So if I say, and again, imagine I'm talking specifically to you. You look really friendly and open, and I am just so thrilled to get to be in this class with you. So what do you notice when I say that version? You might notice that your body relaxes. You feel a little more open to what I'm going to say. You're breathing again, right? You look a little more open and friendly. The reason for that is because words have creative power.
And you might also notice, on a side note, that how many of you were a little skeptical when she said the pleasant thing because of what she said the first time? That is a valuable thing to notice for our relationship communications in general. But the point here is words have great power. They actually have an influence on what you produce, what you create, not just for yourself, but in your relationship. Words focus your attention. It's like you can from the thought realm into your head and out in the physical world with your words. They point you in a certain direction.
So let's just talk about here what this has to do with relationship and why this is such a crucial part here to creating a new foundation for relationship. So in the beginning of relationship, we're focusing on everything we love in our partners, right? We're focusing in on the best in each other. We're highlighting our partner's strengths and their virtues. We're focusing in on what we love, and we're telling them in every single way possible, right? We're telling them how much we appreciate them. We're sending them little love notes. Well, we used to do love notes. Now we do texts and Instagram and Facebook and all that stuff. You know, but we were expressing it. We were touching our partners in every way, making eye contact, kissing, making love for hours. You know, for Christian and I, we had a long distance relationship for the first 2 years of our relationship. And I was traveling across, you know, the oceans, the continent.
8,000 miles for a date.
When we are enthralled with each other like that, you know, as one person so eloquently put it, It's like our lover becomes like a god or a goddess in our love-struck eyes. You know, when we are enthralled in the deliciousness, we're focused in on what we love, and all of our words are matched to that focus. You know, we're saying things all the time like, you are so beautiful, you are so open, I'm so thrilled I get to be with you. Yeah.
But as we all know, you know, as time passes, our focus generally narrows and switches somewhat to the stuff that doesn't work about our relationship and what we don't like so much about our partners. Our view of the partner as being just wonderful and perfect in every way begins to slowly change as, you know, issues arise. Maybe they're not as open to sex as they used to be, not as attentive or thoughtful. Perhaps they appear to be more micromanaging or controlling or fearful or jealous, or they just say no more than what we had previously experienced.
Well, and at first we're able to kind of see through those weak aspects, you know, because we have so much fabulous to sort of offset it. You know, kind of how I think about it when we're first in a relationship, there's a lot of fabulous with very little garbage. Uh-huh. But as it starts to even out, you know, when with all of those upsets and the issues and the conflicts we start addressing, you know, they kind of fall off their god pedestal. And then when it gets really bad, right, where there's mostly garbage and very little fabulous, we begin to change our perspective about our partner. We actually begin to come up with or invent or devolve to unbecoming stories about them. And we start to highlight what they do that we don't like. So before long, you know, we take these incredible beloved beings and we turn them into garbage people with very little fabulous. Well, in an effort to turn them back. So we all have been through some version of that, right? This downward spiral where our partners, you know, we're out of this honeymoon stage and now we're in the, you know, kind of mired down in the details of life. When we begin to fall out of that grace, we all want to get it back. We all want to get that honeymoon in love stage feeling back. So what do we do when we're now fighting more, we're having less sex, we're feeling criticized, and we want to get it back to those good times we had at the beginning? What do we usually do? We talk about what we don't like. We complain. Yeah. We tell them.
We tell them, yeah. We tell them what it is that we think changed and what needs to change now. We say things like, you know, why are you so closed off? Why don't you want to have sex with me? You know, we complain, we pout, we yell, we talk, we discuss, we withdraw, we insist, we threaten, we cry, we plead. Sonic and I, we call all of that complaining for change as an umbrella word. But notice, when you're the one doing it, you don't think of it as complaining, though. When you're the one doing it, typically how you think about it is, well, I'm just making a point. You know, I've identified a problem and I think we should talk about that. It's not like I'm complaining or nothing. I'm just, you know, calmly putting this stuff out so you can fix it. So complaining for change is everything from logically and reasonably putting out a problem you've seen and identified all the way over to yelling and screaming and throwing plates and everything in between.
And really our intention when we complain is for change, for something positive to happen. But that's not always what happens. So here we're going to do a little role play here. And I just want you to notice what gets produced when I attempt to bring to his attention something that isn't working quite like it used to. And I'd really like it to be different. You know, you don't listen to me anymore. You used to really focus in on me and make eye contact and ask me questions and, you know, just be all sweet and loving.
You're noticing I'm right here? Like right here.
This is exactly what I'm talking about, though. This mood in which you were doing this, it feels like
it's I'm listening.
Mode,
like I'm listening.
Really in love mode. And
do you want me to repeat every word you just said?
No, I'm not. You are not listening. You're interrupting and trying to convince me that you're listening, which is not the same thing. Like, look at you. Yeah, well, you're like, so, all judgmental and reactive. Frankly,
you know, it also used to be a lot easier to just listen to you because you used to actually want to know what I had to think. But now when I tell you what I think, you just pick it apart and tell me why it's wrong and I should be thinking something else.
Why are we talking about you right now? I'm not talking about you talking. I'm talking about you listening.
And off we are to the races, right?
Sound familiar?
Yeah, and why we do this, it's a strategy for relationship improvement. We call it complaining for change. Why we do this, and Sonic used the example, you don't listen. You can put in anything. Do you have to spend quite that much money? Do you have to talk to the kids like that? Can't you call me back a little earlier?
Can't you help around the house?
I know, are you never on time? Am I the only one doing anything around here? Whatever, put anything in there, it's the same thing. Why we do that is that we have a fantasy. So there's a fantasy in play in us that basically goes like this. If she says,
"You don't listen to me anymore,"
the fantasy is that I'm going to go, "Oh, really? Honey? Oh, no, that is awful to hear. I'm so sorry. I'm really sorry, baby. I mean, I must have been such a doofus not to listen to you properly. Because you deserve to be listened to, and I really want to hear what you have to say, honey. I'm really sorry. That's going to change from now on, and like forevermore, you're going to have my undivided attention whenever you want it. All right?"
But does that ever happen?
No, it doesn't. We checked. It never happened in human history that anybody reacts like that.
It just produces resentment, reaction, defensiveness. And
I know.
Am I actually getting any more listening?
No. What do I want? What's the first thing I want to do when she says, "You don't listen anymore"? I just want to get the hell out of here. Or, you know, when I say to her, it's the same thing. I say, "Well, you don't even care what I think anymore. You used to actually want to hear what I have to say. Now you just pick it apart."
So instead of more listening, we actually have less listening. So one of the things we always say is when we are complaining for change, we actually make things worse instead of better. The piece here too about words is your focus on what doesn't work only makes it bigger. And one reason for this, again, is because our words have power.
Yeah. So what we're not realizing as we, you know, fervently try to produce a change this way, is that by focusing in this way on what we don't like and what we don't want in our partners and in our relationship, we actually end up reinforcing just more of what we don't want and don't like. Like the more we say they're shut down, for example, the more they appear shut down, the more we are apt to, like, basically we have more to complain about then, right? Because we basically help produce more of it. It's like, you know, it's kind of like law of attraction basics. Like attracts like, creates more of itself. What you focus on, you get more of. You've heard this stuff before, but most of us are just not aware of how directly it plays out in an intimate relationship like this.
Yeah, this dynamic just has you, kind of puts you in an endless loop of a downward spiral where you're completely dissatisfied over and over and over again. So there is a reason for why we're all trained to do this and why we all do this in our relationships, because we all believe that talking about our problems, talking about what we don't like, is going to make it better. And as you've just gotten to experience here, it is not actually true. Why do we do this? Well, we're all good people. We have all been influenced by Descartes. Descartes was a French philosopher who really thought his view of the world was that it was this observable, fixed reality. Right? Like we could look out there and objectively observe what is going on. Newtonian science echoed this way of thinking, right? There's a world out there that is separate and apart from us that we can observe with our senses and describe in language. So think about it, because we've lived in this Cartesian reality every minute of every day. You know, when we say something as simple as, you know, "Please set the table," we're assuming there's a table out there. There are dishes and silverware. There's real things to put on the table. To language is to label. Consequently, we move about labeling everything we see, believing that we're passively interacting with something outside of ourselves that is fixed and rigid, and like we're just observing it.
Yeah, so we end up moving like good observers or scientists, even in our relationship. You know, I'm just observing, you know, just making an observation that you're being pretty critical here. You know, I live with you. I make observations like a scientist. I notice that you don't care about what I think anymore like you used to care.
So we're immersed in this Cartesian reality in our relationships, right? We, as Christian just said, right, I'm living with you. I observe you. And I make declarations and observations,
yep.
Right? You never help in the kitchen. You don't touch me anymore. You don't listen like you used to. When we're happy and in love, we have more kind of positive characterizations of our partner that we're noticing, mm-hmm. Right? God, you are so sweet.
You're amazing.
You're so kind. You're attentive. You're available. So we move in this Cartesian way in our relationships all the time. We live and move like with our partners like they are fixed, rigid beings that we're just describing with our speaking from our observation like a scientist. You know, we are saying things to each other like it's just fact based on our observations.
And notice another part about the Newtonian science is that when I'm a scientist and I just make an observation, I'm not messing with my reality. Remember that from college or high school science class? We always learned we have to be objective and neutral. You can't influence and mess with, those are my words, with whatever it is you're studying. So I'm over here. I don't impact what's going on. I just study it from a neutral vantage point.
So much of our culture and our relationship culture is based on this Cartesian notion. We do the same thing with our children. You know, we observe them, we have them tested. We come up with observations, with declarations, with, you know, the therapeutic models like that as well, right? You make observations and then you give a diagnosis. Well, what Descartes missed and is now common knowledge in quantum physics is that there's no way anyone or anything just is. What quantum physics has discovered is that reality outcomes are influenced by the expectation of the observer. So the smallest bits of matter are subject to change based on what the observer is looking for. This is now commonly referred to as the observer effect. Now, this startling discovery has really effectively changed everything we know and think about reality. Really, what has come of that is that this notion that reality is not fixed and passively observable. It's malleable. We're changing and influencing reality all the time by what we expect to see. So when we observe something, we are not just describing it objectively. We're actually creating and influencing what shows up. You know, so when I say something like, you know, you're shut down, like it's an observation, I'm also, just like we got to experience in this little experiment of me saying you're shut down, I'm also creating it. So one of the things we always say is we are never, ever, ever passively observing anything. We are always actively creating. And again, our words have great creative power.
Yeah. And we have taken this notion and applied it to relationship because that is an important part of our reality, of course. So just consider the point, you know, we're all made up of this same energy that is malleable and has an effect by the observer. That means there's no way I just am. There's no way you just are a fixed entity. You know, we are. Everything is energy in motion. We're a set of probabilities, of possibilities. Who you are, who your partner is, and how you show up is the result of what you co-create, both of you, what you both expect to see and bring forth. It doesn't matter what you were or how your partner was in the past. You can create a new expectation, though, even without having to fix everything that has come before, a new reality at any point or starting at any point by shifting our attention.
And you actually probably have had this experience in your own relationship world of just noticing how you're different with different people in different situations, right? You're not the same person with your mom as you are with your partner, as you are with your kid, as you are with your boss, as you are with your, you know, your ex.
Right.
You, different aspects of you are activated in different relationships. So the same is true in our primary relationship, right? There are different aspects that we're always activating. We have some power over which ones we activate by where we put our attention, where we put our words.
Cool. So here, it's not just our words, though, that have power. We want to tell you a great story. This is one of our favorite stories. It's told in the book, this book here, I'll show you on the screen here in a second, by Dr. Henry Grayson. It's called Mindful Loving. This is Dr. Henry Grayson. He's an eminent psychologist, relationship therapist, and have coached with and counseled thousands and thousands, tens of thousands of couples and singles. So he tells this story in this book. He did a 14-week, so 2-week experiment with his wife that he never told his wife about. So he all, that's why it says it right there in parentheses, don't do this at home. That's Henry Grayson saying that. Don't do this at home. So here's his, was his experiment. On the first day of his experiment, he would go to work in his clinics, just like he always did. She was at home. On that first day, so Monday of the experiment, he would think only positive thoughts about his wife and about their relationship. And he would literally just keep his mind on how amazing she is, what a beautiful mother and wife and lover and friend and person and woman she is, and how much he appreciates everything they've ever shared. That's what he would keep his mind on the whole day. And then he'd go home, just like he always did, around 6 o'clock, and open the door and say, hi, honey, I'm home. That was the first day of the experiment. The next day of the experiment, he would flip 180 degrees, and he would deliberately think only negative thoughts about her and about their relationship. So he would, like, literally bring up all the unfinished business he could imagine. He would literally just think about all the times she got mad at him for no reason, all the times their vacations went south, metaphorically speaking. You know, that's what he would be thinking about all day. But he'd still go home in the same fashion, open the door and at nighttime and say, hi, honey, I'm home, for 2 weeks, back and forth, positive, negative, positive, negative. At the end of the 2 weeks, he told his wife, hey, I've been doing this experiment, for which he was very relieved, as you'll hear in a moment. The result of his experiment was that on every one, all seven of his positive thinking days, when he come home, open the door, she would be right there in the first room of the house to greet him. Some of the days she would even have made a drink for him already and handed it right to him as he came home. And on every one of those nights, they would join up, hold each other's hands, sit on the couch, talk about their day, have a lovely time, meal, make love, watch movie, have a good time. On every single one of his negative thinking days, however, when he'd come home, open the door and say, hi, I'm home, she would be nowhere to be found. The few times he got any response, in his words, it was a bark from the back of the house somewhere. He had promised himself that he would engage her in conversation no matter what. And every single time he did on the negative thinking days, they ended up in a spat or a fight about something. So that's extraordinary all by itself. But when they recreated her experience, turned out it was an exact match to his. Only she had no idea why she all of a sudden felt so schizophrenic almost. You know, on one day she'd be in a generally good mood and anticipating his return with joy. The next day she'd be rather grumpy and grouchy, back and forth, back and forth. And Henry Grayson's follow-up conclusion or question to this, granted informal experiment, but still, is, well, wow, it's not just my words that have great creative power. It is also my mind, like what I think. I don't even have to be in the same house or in the same room or on the same block or the same town for that matter. And he also says the longer we've known each other, you know, the more we get together and know each other and the longer we've been together, the more direct and immediate this influence seems to be that we have on each other just by our thoughts.
So our words and our thoughts have great creative power. And think about it, right? In the beginning of a relationship, all of our words and thoughts were on the delightful wonderfulness of our partner. And when we get to problem states in our relationship, all of our focus is on what we don't like, what isn't working. And that is the stuff that we're talking about, which completely creates and just colors our experience in relationship. So here, I want to encourage you to take a reflective moment here. So go ahead and take a deep breath, as Christian is demonstrating so beautifully, and just close your eyes for a moment. So if we were going to ask you to describe your relationship right now, what would you say?
Including the good, the bad, and the ugly.
If you were going to describe your partner, what would you say? What is the stuff that runs through your mind? You know, kind of like Henry Grayson, right? What's the stuff that you run through your mind that you think about?
Yeah, when you're not censoring yourself, when no one is listening, or you're only talking to friends you feel safe with.
So whatever is coming to your mind right now, that is what you are creating. You're not creating it consciously. You're creating it unconsciously by default. We're not always aware of what we are creating with our words and our thoughts. We're just busy focused in on the problems the words and thoughts are around.
You can open your eyes again if you haven't already. Come back.
So as Christian said earlier, right, our thoughts and our words lead to a destination. And a really great question for us to ask you right now is, are your thoughts and words taking you to where you want to go?
Yeah, or we often get the question, which you might be sitting with right now, but, you know, what if it's true? What if this thing I'm thinking about my partner really is true? Okay, great. Well, why we say that something is true or a fact is based on what we have observed up till this point. So we look to the past to ground our beliefs, to find evidence for our beliefs and observations and stories and assertions. We all do this, you know, we just work like this. So we might say, you know, my son is bright, my daughter is messy, my husband cooks, my wife doesn't. How we say statements like these is we look to past evidence, to past observations. Never mind that we have a great deal of influence on what it was we chose to observe. Never mind that we are completely subjective about what we have observed. Well, we make observations and then we speak them as facts. We've all been trained to do this. We observe what is, what has been, and we report it factually.
We look to past evidence all the time to rationalize and justify what we think, what we believe, what we're experiencing. And when we do this, we inevitably recreate the past. We get more of what we've always gotten. You know, when we feel stuck in breakdown, it's because we're stuck in these past stories, these past observations. We're reacting to the realities we created yesterday. You know, have you ever had the feeling when you wake up from a sleep or, you know, of feeling good until you remembered what happened yesterday? So when we do that, we're basically, so every time I come up with a negative declaration for my partner, right, I say things like, you don't listen, you're not available, you never have wanted sex, have sex with me. If that has been my past experience, when I say those things, it's a little bit like I'm taking the past, I'm gluing it to the present, and I'm projecting it out into the future. So from there, I am inevitably going to keep recreating the same exact experience of my partner and my relationship today that I created yesterday.
So that's why we say the quality of your relationship is the quality of your communication, the quality of your thoughts, the quality of the story you live in. The quality of your relationship is the quality of your communication, the quality of your thoughts, the quality of the story you live in.
Or another way of saying that, the quality of your relationship is the quality of your words and your thought.
Right. So at any given time, all day, every day, we have a choice about, do we reinforce what we don't want, or do we reinforce what we do want and what we do want to create? A successful relationship is a series of positive choices every time I get to that T in the road where it says, which one do I want to go down? A successful relationship is one where you can look back and say, wow, I made a bunch of good choices, and strung together over years and months and years, you can say, wow, I had a great relationship. I created a great relationship.
So no matter what you've created up until this point, you can always create a new possibility. You know, so even in response to your question that you might have, well, what if it's true? Do you want it to keep being true? Yeah. You know, do you want to create something else? Because again, often what we are doing at the start of a relationship is we're feeding and reinforcing the best in each other. And when we're in a bad way in relationship, we're reinforcing the worst in each other. And that's what creates this downward spiral. So you can change your thoughts, you can change your words, and you can, from there, begin to create anew your relationship.
So yeah, and let's start doing that. We'll have you begin to practice some new material now.
So first thing you want to do is you want to be able to create a separation between what you created up until this point and what you want to create in the future, right? So another way of saying this is, like, you know, you've got your past and you've got what you'd like to create. Another way of saying that is you've got your past behaviors and what you'd like to call in. Usually when we are describing ourselves or our partners or our relationship, we're saying a bunch of stuff, right? From Cartesian reality, we're saying a bunch of stuff that's connected to what we have observed up until this point. So we say, I am shut down. I'd like to be open. Well, the first step to creating a fresh start in relationship and beginning to see each other with fresh eyes is we're going to start to play with keeping the past in the past and creating a new possibility for the future. So now, instead of saying, I'm shut down, I'd like to be open, I'm going to start to identify myself as my full potential, my possibility. So I'm now going to say something more like, I used to be shut down. I am open in my full potential. So first thing we want to do here to create a new possibility for you and your relationship is to connect you with this full potential possibility. So we're going to do that by guiding you, first of all, here through a visualization. We're going to allow you to connect with this full potential version of yourself. So if you can, wherever you are, yes, set yourself up in a safe place where you can close your eyes and fully attend to this visualization that we're about to walk you through. All right, so go ahead and take a nice deep breath, close your eyes. And take another nice deep breath. Just let yourself be in a comfortable position. And one more nice deep breath. And in your mind, take yourself to a place where you feel really peaceful, safe, and comfortable. This could be a place in nature, a place outside, or it could be a special room someplace, a place you visited before, or a new place here you're creating in your mind. And just allow yourself to go into this place and just settle there. Relax into this peaceful place. And just allow yourself to see everything there is to see in this place. Just look around and drink in the sights. Notice any colors. Notice your surroundings. Thank you. Notice any sounds in this place. Maybe there are birds or waterfall or music playing. Notice any fragrances or scents in this place. Notice any sensations in your body. As you sit or stand in this place. Just allow yourself to appreciate your surroundings and your experience of peace here. And imagine in the distance now that you see a figure coming towards you. And as this figure comes closer, you see that this is you in your fullest potential. The you you would be if you were the most radiant, vibrant, healthy, powerful, beautiful, wise, most graceful, strong, and enlightened being you can possibly imagine being. This full potential you that is all-knowing, unconditionally loving, open and present. And just notice how your full potential carries him or herself. How are they entering into this space you've created? What are they wearing? How are they carrying themselves? What feeling is evoked in you as you gaze upon your full potential? And imagine now that your full potential is standing directly in front of you. And in the privacy of your own mind, ask your full potential, what is one action you can take right now in your relationship world that would allow you to take one step closer towards realizing your full potential? And just listen to what your full potential tells you. The response of your full potential might come in words, images, or feelings, or just a conveyed knowing sense, or some combination of all of that. Just listen to the message with all your senses. What's one step you can take towards realizing your potential in your relationship? And once you receive this message, actually see yourself doing whatever guidance you just received from your full potential. Actually see yourself implementing this message. See yourself being this full potential being. And just know as you're imagining that, you're actually creating yourself to be that. Remembering the power of thought. So go ahead now and thank your full potential for this action you can take to more fully step into your full potential? And now imagine that your full potential has a special gift for you. And see your full potential giving you this gift and conveying to you the message of it. And go ahead and thank your full potential for this gift. And now, take a nice deep breath and allow yourself, in whatever way feels good to you, to merge with this image. So either step inside this image or allow this image to step inside of you until you and the image are one, where you and this full potential being are one. And as this full potential being, go ahead and take a nice deep breath. And one more nice deep breath as you bring yourself back into wherever you are here. And if you're with your partner, go ahead and take a nice deep breath, open your eyes and connect in here with your partner. So right now, go ahead and take a minute and a half each. We'll give you a halftime signal so you'll know when to switch and share your experience of this visualization. Who was your full potential? What was your message? What was your gift? What was your experience from this visualization?
If you're with a partner, share it out loud with each other. If you're by yourself, you can either journal it if you have a notepad, like write it down, or just consider it for yourself. So one of you go ahead and start. We'll give you a halftime signal. That is about halftime. First person, go ahead and wrap up if there's two of you there. And then go ahead and switch. Other person, you share your experience. All right, start wrapping up your shares. Come to a close. And stop talking, please.
This full potential visualization that you just got in touch with, right? You as your full potential. In order to create a great relationship, you want to identify yourself as this full potential being. For us to create a great relationship, we want to activate the best in me, and we want to activate the best in you. And the first place to start is we've got to identify ourselves as our full potential, not as who we've been, not keep rehashing that and recreating it over and over and over again, because we don't want any more of that. We want to create something else. So I've got to start identifying myself as my full potential. So in this next little exercise here, we're going to give you an opportunity to do that. You're going to say, I am, and all the qualities and characteristics of your full potential. So it might sound something like, you know, I am powerful. I am sexy. I'm alive. I'm passionate. I'm funny. I'm beautiful. I'm amazing. I'm wise. I am tuned in, tapped in. I'm turned on. I am an amazing being. I am intuitive.
And if you're with your partner, you say to each other, like you connect with each other with eye contact as you speak. If you're by yourself, you can either close your eyes and imagine there's a partner. Or with yourself, you can even do it this in a mirror. It's pretty great. So with a partner, you just keep going. I am amazing. I am powerful. I am kind. I'm generous. I'm loving. I'm handsome. I'm sexy. I'm brilliant. I'm wise. And so on and so forth until we tell you it's time to switch.
It's okay to repeat yourself. And it is okay to take a little pause to think about what you want to say. And for your partner who's listening, this is who your partner is striving to be. And truthfully, if you really are honest with yourself, this is who you thought your partner to be at the beginning of a relationship and still think of when things are going great, right? You know that this is the truth about your partner. So if your partner happens to say something, so let's just say you haven't had sex in 20 years and your partner says, I am really sexual, you want to make sure you don't roll your eyes. You know, like instead, like, yes, I would like to create to that more in our relationship as well. I would love to see more that way as well. So you just want to be a silent yes to everything your partner says, I am.
So go ahead and decide who's going to speak first and who's going to listen first. And then go right ahead. I am all the qualities and characteristics of your full potential.
And just stay in eye contact the whole time. One of you speaking, the other person just listening. Go ahead. Say a couple more. All right, great. Person listening, now's your opportunity to say, yes, you are, that and more.
Yes, you are, that and more.
All right, both of you take a nice deep breath. And go ahead and switch roles. Now, other person, you say, I am all the qualities and characteristics of your full potential. If you are doing this by yourself, say it out loud by yourself. Go ahead. Go ahead and say a couple more. And person listening, your time to say, yes, you are, that and more. All right, great. Both of you take a nice deep breath. And just notice how you feel just saying, I am. You know, a lot of people report feeling like they kind of feel more in their full potential when they speak of themselves that way. And they really enjoy hearing their partner acknowledge themselves in this bright, you know, this really great, bright way.
Yeah. So first step to creating, or one of the initial steps here to creating a great relationship, is you begin to identify and really move as your full potential. The next one is to consider you, to hold you, my partner, in your full potential. So now what we're going to do, how we're going to do that, is you're simply going to say you are to your partner and all the qualities and characteristics of their full potential. Basically, you just put your heart on loudspeaker, and you can use all the good words and suggestions they just gave you, of course. And you want to keep eye contact the whole time. You can touch as well, you know, hold hands or have a hand on each other. That's nice too. And if you're doing this by yourself, you can close your eyes and imagine there's either your own partner or a future partner there in front of you. So if we were doing that, it might sound something like, you are beautiful. You are brilliant. You are so loving. You are heartwarming. You're genius. You're a leader. You're wise. You're kind. You're gorgeous and sexy and sizzling hot. You're brilliant. You're a leader. You inspire. You're an inspiration.
Thank you very much for seeing me that way.
And you keep going until we tell you it's time to switch. So decide who's going to speak first and who's going to receive first.
And the person who's receiving, that's a real important part of this exercise, is you want to make sure you receive. You know, if you have that little gremlin in your head saying, oh, no, I'm not. You know, kind of how I am when he says something, you know, acknowledging of me that I haven't quite been standing in much lately. Is really, thank you for seeing that. Thank you for feeding that in me. Remembering the power of thought, the power of words. When he speaks that, he's activating that more in me. So I want to really take that in. So be a silent yes to everything your partner says. And here's one more little piece. If your partner takes a little minute to think about something, sometimes we can make up so you don't have anything to say. And I like to make up instead. You're thinking of the really great, precise, wonderful thing to say.
Yeah. All right. So person starting, go ahead. You are qualities and characteristics of their full potential. Say a couple of more you are's. And person who's been receiving, say, thank you so much for seeing me that way. Both of you take a good deep breath. Now switch roles. Other person, you are qualities and characteristics of their full potential. Go ahead. Say a couple of more you are's. And person who's been listening, you say, thank you so much for seeing me that way. All right, and stop talking. Both of you take a good deep breath.
Just notice how you feel with each other, having just shared these two simple little exercises with each other. You know, you're probably feeling much more connected and in love with each other. And if you think about it, that's what we were doing at the beginning of relationship. We're feeding each other's potential by saying all of these really wonderful things about ourselves and about each other. We're taking it in. We're on this upward spiral creative love fest by speaking into existence all of the stuff we love and appreciate. So really, we want to give that to you actually as a homework assignment to take on every single day at the very least. And truthfully, we encourage you to do it a lot more than what we're going to give you. But we want to recommend you give three appreciations every night to your partner before you go to bed. Like, have that be the last thing. Make eye contact with each other and just say three things you love and adore about your partner. And I'll never forget, we actually gave this assignment to a couple who actually, when they first came to us and we did the same exact presentation, they were talking about splitting up, actually. And they took this on so diligently as a project that they just loved it. They started looking forward to this little ritual every night and kind of turned into this really fun game. Like, oh, what else wonderful could they share it with their partner about what they loved and appreciated? And they were able to recreate that honeymoon stage by focusing in on what they loved and appreciated, kind of highlighting those really great qualities of our partner. And referring back to this whole lesson, right? There's power in our words. Our creation is coming out. When we're saying all those things, we're not just observing, we're creating. We're making it more real with our focus and our attention. It's essential to building a positive quality, amazing relationship is to feed your own and each other's virtues with your words.
And yeah, and take it on as an experiment. Do it as a piece of homework because we're giving it to you now at the very least three times before you go to bed. If you're by yourself, speak three appreciations out loud, seriously, even if you might feel a little silly, out loud about yourself before you go to bed. And if you're partnered and, you know, you don't sleep together, do it on text or Skype or whatever you prefer.
I'll tell you another really great thing if you want to take it on. It's not an official part of this homework assignment, but sort of the graduate version. Connect in with your full potential every day. You know, words and pictures have great power, great creative power. So the more you see yourself as your full potential, the more you embody that, the more you become it. So again, words, pictures have great power, connecting with your full potential every day. And then we've got another homework assignment for you.
Yes, one thing. So we're talking about creating a new foundation here. A really important piece of that is something that we all should have done the second we got together and got serious, at least. But most of us didn't, so we're having you do it now, and it's going to be something we recommend you keep doing. That is to deliberately craft a vision of who you are in relationship, of what your relationship is like.
Your full potential relationship.
Your full potential vision. Relationship vision, exactly. And how we recommend you do this is you simply imagine 5 years out in the future. You imagine you're already standing 5 years out in the future, and you speak it in the present tense or maybe even in the past tense from that place. So from 5 years out in the future, you might say things like, we're more intimate and loving with each other now than we ever have been. We share everything with each other. We withhold nothing. It's evidence of how safe we feel to be ourselves with each other. We have the best, closest connection. I feel I can now share all of myself. And you keep going.
Right, we have the best sex ever. We have the best communication. We're intimate. We make relationship a priority. We play. We have fun. We laugh a ton.
We have time to do things together and pursue our own interests.
So we want to actually give you an opportunity to kind of set the stage for this vision that we encourage you to write up. Because again, the power of words, the power of committing, the power of setting intention, you know, when you write this relationship vision, you're basically declaring, this is what I want to call in. This is what I want to create more. And this is where I want to put my attention. And again, energy follows attention and energy follows intention. So right now with each other here, before we end our time together, both of you, if you're doing this with a partner, again, make eye contact with each other. And we just want you to brainstorm together like Christian and I just were. I want you to take turns just saying, we are. And what is your ideal relationship vision? And you don't have to take turns. You can kind of bounce off back and forth like we did. Just take a couple of minutes to envision your best full potential relationship together.
And if you're by yourself, just speak your own we. For you and your partner, or you and your future partner.
All right, so go on ahead. Just take a couple of minutes. We'll give you a time signal so you'll know when to wrap up. Go ahead. We are.
Keep going a little bit more. We are. Couple of more we are's. And then you both say, yes, we are.
That and more.
Right. Take a deep breath. All right. So here we want to show you in summary the practices to take on this week. So as you're seeing on the screen here, look for and acknowledge your partner's full potential out loud as often as you can. Examples on the screen here, which we've shared examples of already. Give three appreciations to your partner before bedtime. If you're by yourself, do it of yourself. And, oops. Yeah, let me show you. And the next part here is write up your relationship vision from 5 years out in the future as if you're standing there, as if it's happening right now. And like it says in the parentheses there, you can each write your own. We recommend you start there. And if you're up for it, write one together as well.
So in summary here from this session, right, our words have great creative power. At the beginning of relationship, when we were in that honeymoon stage, we were loving each other and speaking each other great and creating it to be more so with our focus and attention. So in order to begin to create an extraordinary, powerful foundation of love and connection, we got to start by consciously creating what we want. So that's why we're giving you these homework assignments. Appreciation, seeing each other at our best, is as essential to human beings as water and sun is to a plant. We need to be seen. We need to be fed to as being our best. I need to identify myself as my full potential. I've got to speak you as your full potential. The more we do that, we create a better foundation for us to now be able to deal with our problems. It's easier to deal with problems inside a frame of love and appreciation than inside a frame of you're not it, this is a big problem, it's never going to work out.
Yeah, so this is the foundation for today. Practice it the best you can over the next time until we see you again. And we look very forward to that.
Oh, and one more thing. We forgot to mention this one. This is another really good homework assignment. Don't complain. Don't worry. We're going to give you some really great ways to deal with your upsets and conflicts in future sessions. For right now, don't complain. Really give it up. It doesn't work. It's never going to work. It's just going to create more distance and reactivity, as we've already demonstrated. Focus instead on feeding each other's virtues and appreciate each other.
Yeah, so really great job so far. We look very forward to being with you again in the second session.
Yeah, thank you very much. And hey, we look forward to being with you next time.
Indeed.
The Risk Course, copyright 2016, Mankind Project USA, all rights reserved. No portion of this material may be reproduced without written permission.